Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate everybody tuning in to us today. You just heard it. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. Hey, are you feeling stuck on where to go for mortgage advice? Let Mortgage Investors Group's experts help you through this tough and uncertain time. Anything to help your needs and achieve your goals. MIGonline.com. Really grateful now for him taking some time, joining us on the Stanley Fenson Gates Hotline. That is the head men's basketball coach at ETSU, the Buccaneers. Our boy, your favorite, Steve Forbes. What's up, Coach Forbes? How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I was feeling sorry for myself this morning when I was thinking about not playing in the NCAA tournament. But you realize how I've had bad luck for a long time because 15 years ago I coached at an institution where our Ainge actually played football and not basketball. You know, and so I mean, I've had some crappy luck, you know, with not being able to play in a tournament this year. And then, I mean, the only Ainge I've ever been around was a dang football player. So,
hey, you know, no, that's not true, Coach. That's not true. I was a Street and Smith All-American preseason honorable mention guard out of
Oregon.
Didn't help you
one bit, did it, Coach? Okay. Not one bit.
Am I going to have to bring Savage on the show here? I mean, come on.
You can bring Savage on anytime you want. I'd cross that fool up and dunk all over him still if I could get net.
Well, what I understand is you used to work on your pinpoint accuracy by throwing water balloons at softball players and gifts. That's kind of what I heard.
That did indeed happen. That's probably why, Monica Abbott probably just, she was like, man, I need to, get that wrist action like Ainge has. Yeah, we did used to throw water balloons at softball players. That did happen.
Just checking.
Coach, I like having somebody else on here that knows the good old days with one Eric Ainge. We had Rick Barnes on a little earlier today, and mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked him. It was a different situation because they were standing, getting ready to play an SEC tournament game when this thing kind of went sideways. You had already won the Southern Conference Tournament Championship after winning the regular season.
Congratulations, by the way.
Absolutely. And you were ready for another round in the NCAA tournament. What was it like finding out that your season was over and particularly mm-hmm. with how special of a season that had been?
Well, it was difficult. You know, we had five outstanding seniors, and I had a whole team of players that had not played at the NCAA tournament yet. And so, you know, that part was really hard. But, you know, it spiraled really fast. And it really kind of started when me thinking about it was after the championship game on Monday night. I was riding the bus home, and Freddie Coleman had me on ESPN, and the very first question he asked me was about the coronavirus, and I was like, what are you talking about? I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, I knew about it, but I hadn't thought about maybe, you know, canceling games or anything like that. So, you know, when we won the tournament a week before Selection Sunday, so I gave the guys 2 days off just to really enjoy the win, you know, and walk around town and get, you know, be happy and have a good time. And so Wednesday night, I'm sitting here watching the NBA. My friend Nick Nurse is the head coach of the Raptors, and they canceled the NBA season, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, we're in trouble. And so Thursday I was supposed to have my first practice. I didn't have it. I met with the team. I talked to them about three options. It could either be the following week, which I doubted it would. It'd be postponed for a later month or, you know, however long, or it'd get canceled. And I had a doctor in there, and I brought a doctor in there, talked to him about what coronavirus was, and what their risk factors were, and all those things. And then we left. By the time I got in the car to go home, they canceled the NCAA tournament. And so I had to have another meeting Friday morning with the president and our athletic director, Scott Carter, with the team. And it was emotional. I mean, it was hard for those guys to swallow. And Eric, you can relate to this. I mean, when you put that much time and effort into something, mm-hmm. you know, like the NCAA, and it's the pinnacle for these guys because they're not going to play in the NBA. I mean, they're going to play overseas, you know, if there's a market there next year, which I don't know. That's questionable right now.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this is it, you know, for them. You know, this is the big stage, and to have it just yanked out from under them, you know, it is very tough and an emotional meeting.
Talking with ETSU head men's basketball coach Steve Forbes right now. Coach, we both know your athletic director, Mr. Scott Carter. Both of you have spent a lot of time here in Knoxville, and he's a great guy. And so I want to bring that up before I ask this question, because I don't want it to sound loaded, even though it completely is. We spent more time talking about you this basketball season and off season, going, is this the year that Steve Forbes leaves the Tri-Cities to go and take that a Power 5 job? I think you're one of the better basketball coaches in basketball. And you stayed ETSU, and I love ETSU, and I'm not trying to say anything negative about them, but I could see you coaching at North Carolina someday. Why ETSU? Why this long? What is going on with you and your career?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. I mean, first of all, I got my first Division I head job when I was 50. You know, I'm not 35. I'm not 40. I'm not in a big, you know, I think when you're younger, you're in a big hurry, you know, and you don't really appreciate the things that you need to appreciate. Number one, you just said I have a tremendous athletic director who I worked with at Tennessee. I have the best president, basketball president in the country, in Brian Nolan. And so you can't put a price tag on those things.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, I worked with Greg Marshall before I came here at Wichita State, and Greg stayed at Winthrop probably 7-8 years before he went to Wichita. He's been in Wichita 10, 13 years, and one of the things that he drilled into me is you just don't mess with happy. And we're very happy. I mean, you know, winning is winning, guys. I mean, I don't care where you're at. It's fun to win. And
100%.
We've built a program here. You know, my daughter's getting her PhD here. My son just finished his master's here. My youngest is at Science Hill. I mean, there's a lot of positives. The people here love basketball, and honestly, you know, I've been well compensated, and so it's not like I have to just take another job just because, you know, or because it's the money. I don't have to do that, and I won't do that. Now, that doesn't mean I won't someday, if somebody came to me and it was a good fit, and I felt like it was the right move, that doesn't mean that wouldn't happen, but
for sure.
There's been opportunities. I mean, there's been several, you know, since I got here that I just didn't feel that was the right fit for me and my family. And so, you know, and it comes up in recruiting all the time. Came up last night on the phone, you know, to a young man, a father, you know, and I just say, listen, don't you want to be a part of a good program? And I, you know, and the other thing is I tell them, if coaches are using that against me, ask them what they would do if they got offered a job. You know, I mean, that always kind of blows my mind in recruiting, but, you know, it's just part of it. And at least we're in the conversation.
Well, and I love to hear your response on that. Again, we're talking with Steve Forbes, head men's basketball coach at ETSU, because you hear that all the time, and it's like, well, why, what? He doesn't need validation. That's not the reason that anyone would ever leave. And hearing you say, don't mess with happy, and bringing up Greg Marshall and your president and your athletic director. I mean, I just think that's really, really cool, because college basketball and football have changed. You don't have to have one of 15 jobs to be a well-compensated, happy guy, developing young men, coaching a sport that you love and you've dedicated your life to learning and understanding. And it's fun watching you do what you're doing at ETSU, I guess, is the best way for me to say that.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I think that the other thing, you know, you have to realize too is, like, for us, you know, right now we're in a one-bid league. You know, I'm not taking another job in another one-bid league. Why would I do that? That'd be stupid. You know, there's other things that come into play, you know, like how do they travel? You know, like, I'm at the age, I don't want to, I mean, we get a bus to every one of our games, a bus home. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't want to go somewhere you got to commercially fly, you know, to all your games. That takes off years on your life. I've done that before. So there's a lot of factors that, you know, I think a lot of people don't even think about or realize when you're looking at something like that, is that's an automatic no right away, you know. And so I'm just fortunate. It's a good – Giant City is a great place to live. you know, we've done a lot with our facility here at Freedom Hall. Made it to, you know, we lead the league in attendance the last 4 years. It's a great place to watch a game. And so really, truthfully, you know, every spring's been a lot more fun for me because I've just been able to concentrate on recruiting and move on to the next year.
Coach, you mentioned being in a one-bid league. What is the challenge with that? Because, I mean, I look at you're in a group of six teams in the country that's won 24 games each of the last five seasons, but you mentioned your senior class was going to their first NCAA tournament. What is that setup and that pressure like over the last part of the season?
It's the hardest pressure I've ever dealt with. I mean, when I was at Tennessee or A&M, Texas A&M or Wichita State, we never had to win a game in the tournament, conference tournament, to make the tournament. We were already in it. But there's tremendous pressure those 3 days in Asheville to win. And we've been in the championship 4 out of the 5 years we've been here. But there's a lot of pressure. And there was a lot of pressure this year, guys, because probably the last 10 games, you know, we're in the conversation for an at-large bid. But the difference is if you're in the conversation, I'll just use Tennessee as an example. If you're in the conversation for an at-large bid in the SEC, then you can lose. You might lose one game, two games in a week, or, you know, and then win four in a row. We can't lose one game, not one, you know. And here's the problem. We could have ended up, if we lost the championship game, we'd have been 29-5. I don't know if we got in the tournament. And that's ridiculous. And the problem is scheduling. I can't get games, you know, especially home games. You know, nobody wants to come here. And so it's hard to put together, you know, people say, well, you know, you got to put together an at-large bid schedule. Well, come do it. I'd enjoy it for you. I would gladly let you guys, anybody, do that for me. You know, and I'll use Brooks as an example, Eric. I mean, he spends more time scheduling this here than any place I've ever been. You know, it's just really, really hard to get games. And so we continue to work at it. And what I think has helped us is as we continue to raise the profile of our program, what has to happen is the coaches have to get it out of their mind that if they do lose to us, it's not a bad loss. I mean, we've been in the top 100 every year we've been here. So you're going to play worse teams than us in your league, let alone non-conference. So if we happen to, you know, we beat Georgia Tech, we beat Mississippi State. We beat LSU this year. Beat them bad, by the way. you know.
The basketball world appreciated it, too.
Yeah. It's not a bad loss, you know, but it's just the mentality that, you know, Gonzaga, Wichita State, and I'm not saying we're even close to being that, but that was the first one of the first hurdles they had, because I know Mark Few real well, and obviously coached with Greg. But one of the biggest first hurdles they had to get through was, it's okay to lose to Gonzaga. It's okay to lose to Wichita State if it happens. If that makes sense.
It does. Coach, last thing for you. We'll get you out of here. We really appreciate your time this morning. Your campus is right across the street from a Tri-Cities institution in Pals. How do you and your staff not weigh 500 pounds? Because when I was up there for softball a couple weeks ago before this whole thing stopped, our hotel was right next door to Pals, and the entire staff – non-coaching staff walked two doors down to go to the drive-thru window every night. How is that not – how do you guys deal with that?
How do you know – I mean, how do you know I don't weigh 500 pounds when you see me in public? I actually bought a new elliptical. I went down to Push and Pedal there in Johnson City last week, got me a new elliptical. I'm on the new coronavirus diet, so I'm trying to
– nice.
You know, it's funny. You brought up such interesting my son, my youngest son, Jonathan, works at Pals.
Yeah.
We have a rule around here, you know, he didn't want to play any sports. I said, well, get a job, man. So he actually works that drive up at Pals over here by Food City. I'm not a big fast food, you know, I eat enough of that on the road. So I don't usually go over there, but I know my wife and my son, all my kids go to Pals all the time. And I've tried to explain to people what Pals is, you know, around the country. And, Eric, you can relate to this. I kind of say it's kind of like a junior In-N-Out burger. You know, it's the first place I kind of ever went that, you know, you order.
I can go with that.
You know, it's kind of like that. But it's really obviously, you know, really good food. And I did pull my son. My son's a junior in high school. Or what is he? No, he's a sophomore, my guy. I didn't know what grade my son's in. We pulled him out of work a couple weeks ago just because of the situation. And I figured there was other people that needed the money, you know, needed the hours. And so he hasn't been back to Pals in a couple, 3 weeks.
Talking with ETSU men's head basketball coach Steve Forbes. So, Forbes, let's go back here to the trash talk between me and Savage. If I'm throwing water balloons at the Lady Vol softball players and he's the one filling them up for me, beyond an accomplice, maybe even an antagonist in the whole deal.
Well, he's a behind the scenes guy.
That's his deal.
You know, he don't want to step out in the forefront. You know, it's kind of like being an assistant. You know, you got all the answers, but you're sitting over there on the bench, you know, on the other chair. And so, you know, until you slide over there and have to stand up, it's like when my first year we were playing at Villanova, it just happened to be the year they won the national championship. And it wasn't Brooks, but one of my assistants looked at me and he says, "Coach, you know they're on a 27-0 run." I go, "I know. I can read the scoreboard. I'm trying to let the clock run out. Okay? I'm the one standing up here. You're sitting down." All right? So I totally get it. But I will tell you this. I came from Texas A&M to Tennessee. I was in the Francione era at A&M, which wasn't very good for football. My very first football game in Neyland was against Cal your junior year.
Electric.
I'll tell you this. I grew up in Iowa. I went to all the Iowa football games. Hayden Fry, you know, coached at A&M. The hair on my arms stood up when you guys came out of that tee for the very first time that I'd ever seen. I'd watched plenty of football. I love college football. You know, I'd always wanted to be in Neyland, but just to see that was amazing. And then you and I then dialed up 4 touchdown passes, and it was game on. But
it's not a big deal, coach. You know, a lot of guys to thank. Yeah. Of course, most notably myself. So,
well, maybe good thing Eric's doing his show from his garage. His head would never get out of the studio.
Meet him a little bit of a bone. I mean, it was a heck of a time, and you know. So anyway, I appreciate you guys. I know I had to follow up Coach Barnes. You know, he's probably a little bit funnier than I am. Rick and I are good friends, and we talk on the phone a lot, but it's nice to have a good relationship with him, too.
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask him. We ended up talking about his attempt at making homemade corn dogs, but it was on my list of notes to let him know we were talking to you today, too, because I know that to be true, and I think that's awesome. You know, the good ones in the game, the good ones in the sport, doing it the right way, coaching and leading and developing the right way, usually find a way to have good relationships with each other. So that's always good to hear.
Yeah, he's a good man, good mentor for me. You know, obviously I got to know him, first off, as rivals, you know, when I was at A&M. He was with the Longhorns. And that was at that point a very intense rivalry. And, you know, and then I played against him here, you know, Tennessee when we beat Durant in overtime in Thompson Bowling, which maybe one of the loudest times I've ever heard Thompson Bowling in overtime against them, against Texas. And then just, you know, when I came here, you know, we played each other a couple times and really got to know each other. I go down there and watch practice as much as I can sometimes just to watch somebody do, you know, do things different. But he's a really good person and an outstanding coach.
Coach Forbes, we really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with that off-season workout program, and we look forward to talking to you again down the line as we try to get back to some normalcy in college basketball and the world of sports.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and usually my off-season workout is just sitting in the steam room, so that's how I sweat.
Hey, if you when you get a chance when we're done, text me Savage's number so I can wear him out.
That'll be the very first thing that I do, I promise.
Yeah, I'll include you on it so we can tag team him together and make sure to knock him down a peg or two.
It won't be hard.
See you, Coach.
All right, boys. Thanks.
That is Steve Forbes, head coach, ETSU men's basketball. We'll come back here on the Eric Ainge Show.
Tier of syndication, we're going to have the athletic director, the men's and football and basketball coaches, and I think we're also, Brian, you mentioned having Kelly Harper on.
Yeah,
we got to get Ralph and Karen back on too.
Yeah, gonna try to get all of them scheduled coming up here so we can get them.
That's a squad, man. That's a good lineup.
We're rolling with it. Okay, you have to explain to the listeners your relationship with Brooke Savage, who's now the director of operations for Steve Forbes at ETSU. He's a manager. I know he and I were friends back in the day, UT as well. So he's your water balloon filler guy.
So Brooks was probably my best non-football athlete friend. He was my best friend in college. I used to go to his house, I want to say South Carolina is where we were driving, if I remember correctly. But I used to go home and hang out with him at his crib all the time, get a home-cooked meal and hang out. And we were both hoop guys at heart, and so we had that. And he was involved with the Tennessee men's basketball program. He started as a manager, worked his way up to everything. And then through that time, he's had a career bounced around a little bit. And he's at ETSU with Steve Forbes, and he's the guy behind the scenes. He's the guy that does everything up there, hence why Forbes would even bring him up to make fun of him. Because Forbes, kind of like myself, if he doesn't make fun of you, then he doesn't like you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always fun. But he's one of my best friends in college, and yes, he indeed was. He tried to throw him, but the softball players and myself were the only ones capable of. They could throw him from half the distance to get me, and then my obviously overhand throwing a water balloon, I could throw about twice the distance there. So I of course had the edge, and I was on the upper deck of Old Gibbs, so I had the high ground and the bigger arm. But he was down in the trenches filling him up, and they found he was there, and they ended up wearing him out and crushing him. So those are good times, man. We had a really fun era there in the mid 2000s. You had Bruce Pearl and that staff that, you know, you just heard from Steve Forbes and Brooke Savage and a lot of people, great people involved. You had Philip Fulmer, Pat Summitt. I mean, wow. Right.
Do you want to identify which players you were throwing water balloons in from that Lady Vol softball team?
I don't remember all of that. Like, so here's the thing. I remember I would know them by first name, most of them only, and it would probably escape me exactly. It was all kind of a blur.
Okay.
I know one of the girls listens to the show because she's called me out on it before.
There's a lot of members of the Tennessee softball alumni family that listen to the show on a regular basis.
Yeah. So I know that wouldn't be the only one. Obviously, Monica Abbott was there, but she wasn't necessarily taking part in the shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
And I can promise Ralph and Karen that with water, no one was injured or anything like that. And, you know, if that was all I was doing from Gibbs, then that was the least of anybody's worries. So, you know, a little water balloon fight never hurt anybody.
We'll
good times,
back.
Man. We had a fun era and a fun time and a lot of great memories from the University of Tennessee in the early to mid 2000s there. And hopefully that's kind of what it's like for the guys and gals over there getting back and having that family. You heard Randy Sanders talk about it, family. But that's what we had there. And it wasn't just football with football. I mean, it was all sports.
We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Speaking of fun, coming up on the other side here on the Eric Haines Show of axe throwing in this area. Nobody does it better. All right. Florida, Alabama, or other today. Florida, Alabama, or other. I'm not going to make you try to identify the exact state, but Florida, Alabama, or other.
Ooh, I love this.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. First one. Man tries to cheat on wife but finds himself blackmailed instead. Man tries to cheat on wife but finds himself blackmailed instead. Did this happen in Florida, Alabama, or other?
So my wife is watching a terrible show right now at night when we're just trying to fall asleep, and you know you don't want to watch anything that like really keeps your attention, called Heart of Dixie, and it takes place in Alabama, and it mm-hmm. seems like all there
Rachel
is...
Rachel Bilson was in this, right?
Yes. It seems like all there is people cheating on people and all that good juicy stuff. So I'm going to take Alabama in this one.
Joel Silverberg.
Yeah, I'll lean Alabama. Because that sounds like something where
you're trying to do something wrong, and then it kind of comes back. Just everybody's plotting to do something evil.
If it were Tuscaloosa, I might disagree with you on this, because they've been good at cheating there for a while. But go ahead, Brian.
This one is other, but it's our other original state. It is Georgia. This is a great story. Jackson County man explored a website designed to let people cheat, and after communicating with a person, authorities said he found himself being blackmailed. The man was using a website that will remain unnamed. He then gave a woman he met his company cell phone number, where they sent discreet text messages and photos. Then he received the surprise text that his mystery woman had found the addresses for his wife and his family, and if he didn't pay her $3,000, she would expose what they had done. The man reported the man reported it to deputies, and they have not found a way to catch the person yet, but he has remained anonymous because the police are trying to catch the lady, so they've let him remain anonymous. Still, yikes. All right. Florida, Alabama, or other. Daycare worker loses job after writing in marker on baby's belly. Daycare worker loses job after writing in marker on baby's belly.
One more time.
Daycare worker loses job after writing in marker on baby's belly.
Oh, I would be furious. I mean, like, do you know what she wrote or he wrote?
Yes. He or she wrote, "Mom, I'm out of diapers. Please read my report."
Wow, that sounds like someone who is struggling there with being around the kids. Listen, being around babies and small children can be incredibly difficult at times. And when it's your own children, it's one thing. When it's other people's children, it's another. You know what I've never done? Wrote in marker on any of them for any reason, especially this one. This is pretty terrible. Believe it or not, I'm going to go other again on this one.
Joel.
I actually saw this a couple weeks ago when it like circulated on social media. I'm pretty sure it's Florida.
It is indeed Sanibel, Florida. A daycare worker is out of a job after writing on a child's stomach with black marker. The mom posted about the incident on Facebook, saying she had apparently missed a daily report in her son's lunchbox that said he needed more diapers. So the message written on the stomach, "Mom, I'm out of diapers. Please read my report."
Wow.
Quote, "Now keep in mind, I see several teachers at drop-off and several at pickup. If I fail to see that he needs diapers, a simple, 'Hey, your son needs diapers, maybe you missed the report,' would have done the trick," unquote. Instead, it was written in permanent marker, and after scrubbing it with baby wipes, it was still not coming off.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, fired is what happened there. All right, last one. Florida, Alabama, or other. Florist selling $75 toilet paper bouquets. Florist selling $75 toilet paper bouquets.
Oh, gosh. Can you give me some more deets from this? Can you do it without telling me what state it is? Maybe just give me the county.
Toilet paper's become a hot commodity because of coronavirus panic buying. One florist is turning the craze into a lighthearted business opportunity.
Oh, geez. That's almost dirty. I feel like you're making it difficult. You're wasting such an incredible commodity. I think wasting commodities, that's the sunshine in the state of Florida. I'm going to take Florida again on this one.
Joel.
Really feel like it could be anywhere. I'm going to just play the odds and take other.
It is Truman, Arkansas. Blossom really well Events done, and individual. Florist posted a picture of an arranged toilet paper bouquet. She is selling it for $75 while supplies last, and it's only available to locals, so you can't call it up and order it from here. Quote, "It's just like a dozen roses, except that it's toilet paper," unquote, said the store's owner, David Faulkner. So, there you go. That's Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented
that's
by...
That's how you go Ofer right there.
Well, you didn't wipe up this time. It is Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented by the Smoky Mountain Axe House. smaxes.com is how you find out more about them. Their online store is open right now. Their full selection of goatees, T-shirts, as well as axes and accessories, smaxes.com, locally owned, veteran-owned business. The Eric Ainge Show continues next. We'll find out what we learned today on the other side on the Eric Ainge Show.
Someday. And it definitely is the cheaper option. $500 value going for $50 right now. Seriously. They have the neuro scans that are covered by insurance. You want to find out if your kid has ADHD. You want to find out where you're at as a baseline. If you have kids that are athletes and you want to make sure that you have them taken care of, they do the neuro scans covered by insurance and akin, of course, the free T tests. What is your testosterone number? They're going to give you a free test there. And they do. They can even give it to you to take home for the month if you want to do self-injection there, if you don't want to show up every week. But they're clean. They're essential. Located in Farragut. It is regencomplete.com. Brian, what'd you learn today?
This may be the most important news of the day. The Florabama in right on the border of Alabama and Florida has canceled or postponed its annual mullet toss. It's one of the highlights of the summer. Is the famous Florabama mullet toss. Have you ever been to the Florabama?
I have not. We're supposed to go in July to whatever the swanky area is in Alabama.
Gulf Shores?
Whatever beach. I think so. That or maybe somewhere right there, right next to that. It's in that area. It's the nice area. It's my mother-in-law that rents our beach home on the beach every year. Vacation, and we're supposed to go there in July. Hopefully that's a thing.
I know it's not your scene anymore, but if you should go to the Florabama just to
see it. I've heard it's an incredible bar.
Go during the day and just look around because your thought will be, I am glad I did not come here when I was 21.
Yeah.
So they've had to postpone the annual mullet toss. So
bummer.
The SEC also made this announcement. The SEC schools that were scheduled to host conference championships that were canceled in 2020 will instead host those events in spring of 2021. It means Alabama will host the softball tournament next year and the women's tennis championship. Arkansas will host the men's tennis championship. Georgia, the equestrian championship. And Texas A&M will have the outdoor track and field championships. They're sliding the rotation by 1 year for all the future schools.
If you missed the interviews, there's a lot to learn and just kind of good vibes to catch up on with both Rick Barnes, Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps, if you're local high school sports, if you're looking for that. And then, of course, head coach at the University of Tennessee for men's basketball, Rick Barnes, joined us, as well as the head coach for ETSU for the Buccaneers, Steve Forbes. And we're going to have their athletic director on from ETSU, who's a big orange guy at heart, Scott Carter. I'm sure you've known Scott Carter for a long time, Brian.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal guy. He's going to join us next Thursday at 11. And this upcoming week, we're still planning and working on times, but we're going to have a head football coach of the University of Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, join us. And we're just trying to figure all that out right now. And athletic director Philip Fulmer as well. So we're going to have the AD, the men's coach for basketball, and the football coach for both the Volunteers and the Buccaneers on in the first couple weeks of our syndicated little gig that we got going on here, man.
Yeah, it's some great timing to get those guys on. I also learned that Jadeveon Clowney may be a Titan, but it's going to come at a lower price than what he was initially asking for.
Yeah, he's dropping it down a little bit, and that's probably a good thing. We'll see what they do with their roster. Maybe Mike Keith would be a great guy to get on and talk to about all this stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this came across the bottom line this morning. LSU, after the college basketball documentary for the FBI investigation aired on HBO earlier this week, I haven't watched it yet. It's on the DVR. But LSU clarified today that Will Wade's job status is unchanged. They have gone all in on this game. LSU and Arizona are going to make the NCAA fire their coaches. Or they're going to make the NCAA make them fire their coaches. They're not going to do it voluntarily. Which, that's a strategy.
Again, it is, and I'll say it again. I'm not saying that I'm willing to just, like, look the other way on things like this that have happened in college basketball over the years, but I even remember this, living this as a young AAU basketball prospect with the last name Ainge in the college basketball world. I remember seeing this, hearing this, dealing with this, that it was just such a part of doing business. If you're doing anything now or in the future, if you're straight up, straight cash homie paying kids to come play hoops for you, then you deserve to not be able to coach basketball at all at the collegiate or any level going forward. I don't expect LSU to fire their guy, Will Wade. I don't. And I'm not saying that I like it's okay and all that's great, because there are a lot of coaches that have done it and done it the right way throughout this time. But we've kind of reached that point where it's like, you know, my kids, he hit me. Well, she pushed me. Well, he did that. And it's, you just follow this little rabbit hole and you just go, it takes two to fight. You're both bothering me. Be quiet. Stop fighting with each other. You don't touch her. You don't touch her. And then it's simple. And then when one of them does that after that, then you know what? They get in big trouble. I feel like we've reached the, you go to this corner, you go to this corner. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. But if anybody does even toots in the wrong direction now, they're going to their room, and we'll see what happens with all of it.
So you're equating I think that fits. I think
I'm not
plays.
Saying it's fair, and you know, there's obviously there's, you know, this kid, you know, Turner may have, you know, egged her on to get her to push him so he could punch her, and you never know who necessarily is the obviously sometimes more than one had more of a role in this in the fighting, but. Like my dad always used to say, guys, it takes two to fight. You're both in trouble. And if you do it again, by the way, you're busted. And we knew at that point that if we did it again, it's on us. It's on us. You know, Will Wade, last night my son had to lose his Nintendo Switch because he wouldn't turn the volume down. And I asked him very, very quietly, I said, Turner, you got to turn the volume down. He didn't. He lost it. Will Wade better not make any blanking strong offers anytime soon.
That's true. Coming up tomorrow on the Eric Kane Show, some schools are obviously going to have to make some financial adjustments. Some coaches are already volunteering those, with the coaches that are volunteering their pay decreases going to lead the way for the new standard in college sports over the next year. We'll talk about that. And we will be virtually from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. We'll talk to Jake Bull throughout. Stay tuned. EA, good show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, buddy.
Sports 180 on the Sports Animal next. Jim Rome on the Sports Monster. It's the Eric Ainge Show.